Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning and welcome to the Morning Beat on this official first day of fall. The autumnal equinox is here.
I cannot wait for fall and winter. Not winter.
We're already on to winter?
Well, I was thinking about my birthday, and that's in January, and I feel like I'm a snow bunny, snow bunnying. But let's just stick to end of September.
You know, we should try this year. Is my mic on in my ears, Vanessa? I feel like I can't hear myself, but just check on that, please. We should definitely try this year to go to a cabin at some point.
Somewhere.
Am I on the wrong mic?
All right.
There I am. Oh my gosh.
There
I heard it. I was like, why did I pull this mic? There's two mics I get to choose from every day, and half the time I choose the wrong one. I'm so sorry.
It doesn't matter.
So once again, good morning. Welcome to the Morning Beat. It is officially autumn. No, but this winter, I think we should definitely try to get up to like Big Bear or Mammoth or something just for a weekend.
1,000,000%.
Like a couple's retreat.
1,000,000%.
A place that's maybe dog friendly or something.
Yes.
And just go be cozy, guys, for like a weekend.
We did for my 29th birthday. Lisa put together a... She brought like my best girlfriends, and we did a cabin in Mount Charleston. And it was so
That's
much
outside of Vegas,
fun.
Right? That's
Yeah. I mean, what we could do really kind of for my birthday, if you wanted so, we could actually combine me and Emil's birthday because we're the same month.
Yes.
We could do a weekend in Vegas, 2 days, and then do a Mount Charleston because it's like 45 minutes away.
I already have a new Vegas weekend planned now.
Okay.
I have to admit that to you.
What does that mean?
It turns out I'm friends with the executive producer and choreographer of RuPaul's Drag Race live. So we're doing a couples weekend in Vegas.
Are you doing this because I went to RuPaul's Drag Race on Equality Night?
Well, maybe. I mean, we've been trying to go for so long.
Are you trying to hurt me?
Our schedules just don't work out, Michaela. Sometimes they don't work out. So let's push it to January and we'll do a different thing.
He's my best friend.
I am your best friend, but I'll tell you what, I might not have a lot of time for you very soon. I might need to get a second job because I went to this dinner last night that was very, very delicious and expensive.
Okay.
And so, you know my friend Mindy. She's a head of casting over at Shark Tank. They have their, we should actually have her on the show because this is, tomorrow night Shark Tank premieres their like 13th season and they're doing a live episode. The first time they've ever done a fully live Shark Tank. So it's actually, they filmed the entire season
That's
already.
It's going to be so nerve-wracking.
The only episode they haven't filmed is the premiere because it's going to be live.
Wow.
So she's been working really hard on that. So we set these dinner dates like once every couple of months. And so we went to a French restaurant last night. I love French food, right? Like a braised short rib is like my favorite thing in the entire world. And she knows that I love like eggs. Because I'd commented on something. She had deviled eggs somewhere recently. And it's like my favorite thing in the world. She's like, well, there's this French restaurant that has this egg that you have to have. It's amazing. Great. We get there. We each get it. It's one single egg, sort of like lightly, like soft scrambled, still inside the shell. You know where they bring out that little silver like dish holder and like the eggs in it. And it's topped with caviar. Like a bunch of caviar.
Oh my God, wait, did you try the caviar?
It's delicious. I absolutely
and
loved
gonna
it.
You're going to like it, and you're going to like that disgust.
It was one egg per person, and it was phenomenal and cost $32 an egg.
Yeah.
$32. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot caviar. It's been a while.
Yeah.
We had escargot. We had all the French things. We like very, very French. We had a chocolate mousse at the end. Cost me $200.
Listen, honey, what is escargot, we'll just go outside in the garden and I'll pick you up a little snail right there and save you a whole $60.
You're going to bake it in a puff pastry because it was delicious?
Why not? Just set it on the ground, 100 degrees here in Los Angeles. Just let him bake for a second.
There you have it. So I might not have time to be your best friend anymore. I might have to get a side job to pay for my food
snails?
Addiction. Yeah. And while I was doing that,
I'm being replaced for snails.
Snails. Well, you're too slow. But while I was doing that, my dog was at home vomiting all down the back of the couch behind Emil's head, my husband.
Oh, good.
And if you want to see that, all the details, go check out his Instagram, Emil Ennis Jr., or his TikTok, because he put it up there as a TikTok video. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. I don't know why he would do that.
What?
Yeah, you'll see it. You'll see it. It's wild. So
great.
I need to also get a second job so I can afford upholstery cleaning. It's a lot.
It was a very expensive
night in our household.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, Emil and I had our own date. So if you're too busy for me, I'm going to start dating Emil.
You were also fancy.
We went.
I sent you a text while you were with him, too.
He insists to tell me not to have sex with his husband.
Yeah, I said, don't you F my husband.
Listen, I will say this. I am irresistible. However, yesterday we were like fancy guys.
Yeah.
And we had such a good time. I haven't really ever hung out with Emil, just Emil and I.
Aww.
It's always been us.
Yeah.
But we had such a good time, and I felt like we were so fancy, and it felt so nice to be like fancy people,
yeah,
still in comfortable clothes, just
you guys went
doing
to Soho
our own thing.
House,
we
West
went to
Hollywood.
Soho House.
Yeah.
He came to pick me up and had my album blasting, which,
the
love is real.
The views at Soho House, West
Beyond.
Hollywood location, are just the best in the city.
Yeah, it's gorgeous
so
there.
Well, I'm glad you had fun.
I did. I had so much fun.
Then you left your keys in the car and he had to drive back to you.
I wanted to see him again. I missed
very,
him.
Very, very on track for Michaela Gordon. But we have a fantastic show coming up for you. It is also Therapy Thursdays today. We've got a lot going on. Why not get right to it, though? It's time for some news on the beat.
Okay, babe, a historic number of LGBTQ candidates will appear on ballots across the country in November. At least 1,095 lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer people have run or are still running for office at all levels this year, up from 1,006 in 2020, according to data from the LGBTQ Victory Fund. In New York, two gay candidates, Democrat Robert Zimmerman and Republican George Santos, are running to fill the seat vacated by Democrat Tom Suozzi in New York's 3rd congressional district. This will be the first time in the U.S. history that two out LGBTQ congressional candidates are going head-to-head in a general election.
It's kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal.
We're finally to the point where we're like, oh, there's multiple. Multiple. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, one more news story. The University of Massachusetts football team picked an appropriate match for their upcoming Pride Day, their October 8th home game against the Christian Conservative and Anti-LGBTQ Liberty University. Special announcement reads a message on the team's Twitter account. Our game versus Liberty on October 8th will be hashtag Pride Day. On Twitter, UMass fans noticed that for their Pride Day, their team is playing against the team that probably would never celebrate Pride otherwise. Others bemoan the choice, saying that it is inappropriate to make Liberty's team participate in a Pride celebration because the school is Christian. I love this so much.
I do, too. I think that's really smart. And also, I guarantee you there's at least one or two players on that Christian football team who are gay or bisexual, and maybe possibly many more.
Totally.
And just for them to be in a space that's accepting, even for a moment, can sort of spark something. Right?
Absolutely.
I think that's hilarious, actually.
I do, too. Okay, let's get into a little bit of weather. It's going to be a high of 78 in Philadelphia, 97 in Dallas, 83 in L.A., 78 in San Diego, and 100 in Palm Springs. Now give us a vibe of the day.
I'll give you a vibe. No excuses. Find your voice and tell the world every morning, I'm back. Or just say, I'm here.
Yeah.
Or just say, hey, I'm grateful.
Yes.
Start your morning with something positive.
I love that so much.
Good morning, Beat. Channel Q.
How do you check out a hot person without getting caught? That's the question we're asking. Me personally, I've been with my husband for 10 years, and so I don't check anybody out.
Yeah.
That's totally a lie. I still check out guys all
of
the time.
Course.
So does he. If I check out a hot guy, I kind of want him to know. Like, I want him to know that I looked at him, right? And I want to see if he looks back. I want to see if there's a twinkle in his eye, and I want to see if I still got it. So I can go home and let my husband know, and then he can get it, right? So like that's it's like an ego thing. But Reddit, I love Reddit. There's so many interesting conversations on Reddit. Redditors are revealing the skeeziest things they've done to check out a hot dude without getting caught. One person, listen to this. One person says, I use a wheelchair, so sometimes if a guy is really, really cute, I'll ask for help to get to the other side of the ramp, even if it's not that steep. That's filthy.
Oh, my God.
That is so inappropriate. You know, I will tell you, that's gross. Because if you don't have to use a wheelchair, I think it's really, really awful. One time, we were with a group of friends down in Florida for gay days at Disney World. And our friend thought, she's like, oh, honey, this is how we'll get to the front of the lines. I'll just get a wheelchair for the day and you guys can push me around. And we were like young, right? This was like 15 years ago and we were young and we were stupid and we were probably drunk and we were pushing her around, getting to the front of the rides. It was like amazing. Like the whole group of us, like four or six people got to go on everything right away.
Yeah.
And then we wheeled by somebody who was actually in a wheelchair and didn't have any legs. And we all looked at each other.
Oh my
and
God.
Felt so horrible.
Felt awful.
We pushed her around the corner. She stood up out of the wheelchair and we left it and just walked away. Like, we felt horrendous. So I don't like that one. That's pretty skeezy.
Okay. I don't like that either. I think that I'm very weird. And I didn't realize this until a couple months ago. When I go to, like, I do think people are attractive, but I will not even, like, if let's say we're in the gym, I will walk. And I will beeline it. And I will not look at one person in the eye. Even if I think they're hot, I will not even look at them. And I don't know what that's about, but I never know if anybody thinks I'm attractive because I beeline it and I don't even look at anybody.
It's a personality thing, I think. I'm with you on the I don't think anybody thinks I'm attractive thing, which is probably why I desperately look. But my husband will tell me sometimes.
No, I don't think that they don't think I'm attractive. I think that they think I'm attractive. I just will walk and not look at anybody. And if I think someone's hot, I especially won't look.
Yeah, those are the hard ones. If they're actually really hot, then it gets intimidating. Well, this person, the original post was, I once followed a really hot dude walking his dog because I knew he would have to bend over to pick up his dog's business at some point. It worked. Just to check out the guy's booty. He followed him on a dog walk?
Oh, see, I've never done that. What's
attractive about somebody bending over to pick up their dog's doo-doo? Like, what?
I don't know.
Like, you need to get a better dating app.
Like, I'm trying to think. I remember, I guess, the last time that I stopped to check somebody out, I guess, we were walking, and I just looked at them right in the face, and we just continued, like, walking past each other while like deeply staring at each other, and then I was like, bye. That was it. Like, that was the extent of I don't know what it is.
Well, you like to run.
Love
you
to
like
run.
Go jogging. This one user shared their story. I slowed my running pace to stay behind a guy because his butt was nice. I would have passed him otherwise. They slowed down. Just I will tell
that
you
that takes a lot of time.
No, but I'll tell you, this is a real one, because when I was in high school, I was on the swim team. And I was maybe a freshman or sophomore. I was still young, still very much in the closet. And there was this one guy, Nick, on the swim team that I thought was so hot. He was like a year older than me. And he was my friend, but he was a year older than me. And when you're on a swim team, you practice and just swim laps and laps and laps every single day, right? And you're like, there might be five or six people per lane. And I always made sure that I was swimming right behind him, especially when we did the breaststroke. The breaststroke is where you have to do that frog kick and your legs kind of spread and come together. I always wanted to be right behind him when we were doing that so I could check out his butt the entire – that's all I would do. I would check out his butt the whole time I was swimming. And that was like enough for me as a queer teenage kid in Ohio to get by and keep going to practice. I only really went for Nick's butt in a Speedo for an entire season.
Okay, I like this one. I was at work when these smoking hot cops walk in wearing a skin tight uniform, muscles busting out, and a nice plump round butt. I took a pic of his butt when no one was looking. There's something about people in a uniform, though.
There is.
There really is.
It's sometimes, like, especially the police uniforms, problematic, but also sexy.
Okay, listen. I live down the street from a fire station, and so all the firefighters, men and women, go sit outside every night, like, around 5. And so sometimes, like, me and Lisa drive, and she's like, oh, they're out. And I just look at all of them, and I'm like, all of you are so cute.
You're like, hello, boys.
Hello, no, because me... when I think someone's somewhat attractive, I refuse to look at them. So I never look at that. I look at them until it's time to pass, and then I look away.
I told a firefighter he was hot one time. I was visiting my friend Elena in Brooklyn. And we were at this ice cream shop, and these firefighters walked in, and this one guy was gorgeous. He had muscles everywhere and a big butt. And I said, "You're gorgeous." And he was like, he kind of grinned at me and said, "Thank you," with his like New York accent. And I was like, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Why did I just say that out loud?" What? And we walked out with our ice cream, and she was like, "Oh, I can't believe you said that." And I was like, can't believe I did either.
Oh my God, wait, I did do something kind of weird.
I knew
it. A couple months ago.
Uh-oh.
Okay, I think it's really important to compliment people, especially like if they like look great. So I was I actually do this a lot to men and women. Oh, wow. Okay,
now it's all coming back to you.
Hello,
there it is.
Psycho. I was driving down the street, and this man looked like a statue, honey. I mean, gay or straight, like the most beautiful aesthetic I'd ever seen. So I busted my car around and made a U-turn, and then I went, "Hi, I just want you to know, like, you are it, honey." And then he was like, very clearly straight. And I was like, thank you. And I was like, "Yes, bitch, bye." And then I was like, I wonder what he
this thinking
thought
now.
Of that now. But I thought that, like, he really did. It's people walking down the street that
sometimes
get me.
Sometimes they needed that. Well, if you were a gay man, he would be like, "Yes, honey,
I know,
yes."
But I thought I was going to get a yas, and I got a thank you. And I was like, oh. Okay, well, to your wife,
oh,
I said hi.
Silly straight.
Channel Q.
Remember when Madonna used to put out music? I miss her.
Oh, Madonna. What's going on, Mama?
She's a little wild these days, but I do miss her music. I'll say that.
I miss her music as well. Mm. And I just miss her being... Listen, the kids don't know how iconic Madonna was.
Right?
Like, Madonna in the 80s and 90s was breaking barriers. I mean,
even the
Madonna
2000s, when her music...
walked so that these people could run, honey. Mm-hmm. And because of these late antics... she's so easy to be like criticized and like what's going on with her fit, like what's going on. But she was such a bad bitch.
Yeah, she's a bit Grey Gardens nowadays.
Yeah,
like she's gotten a little bit kooky. Yeah, but we'll see. I feel like she's going to have a comeback, a resurgence through her kids. I think her kids are going to become performers. And
I don't know about that.
No.
Well, Lola put out that single. Have you heard very much about it? We played it here on the Morning Beat. Her daughter,
Lourdes. They call her Lola.
They call her Lola.
Oh wow. Mm-hmm. She was a showgirl.
Yes, she was. Hmm. Still is, apparently, with her new single.
Well, speaking of showing, John Hamm has been showing off his talents for many, many years. And a lot of people in our community are definitely fans. But he's popping up in what's popping again for a very specific reason, Michaela. What's going on?
All right, well, John Hamm finally addressed the penis thing on Monday on the Howard Stern Show and whether or not the rumors that he prefers Going Commando were true. Let's take a listen.
I have worn underwear every single day of my life, Howard. That is
so. That's a rumor. That, in other words, none of that is
yes,
true.
Yes, I have. First of all, who doesn't wear underwear? I wear underwear.
Especially
I've worn
with a
underwear
suit.
Every day of my life. With a suit.
I mean,
no, come on. I love a comfy boxer brief.
Okay, so.
Okay.
I'm gonna tell you what this really is. You know what this is? This is a flex.
Just an opportunity for him to brag. Because he also says, by the way, these rumors, they're not the worst.
Yeah. Like- the rumor is that he's very, very, very well endowed. You've seen the pictures. We've all seen the pictures.
I haven't seen the pictures.
Really?
No, I haven't.
Oh, no. My husband looks at them every single day. He just pulls every single day. He loves John Hamm.
John Hamm is gorgeous.
He's hot. He's a daddy. But this is a flex. I'll tell you why. Because it would be easy to be like, listen, we could all have a VPL... every now and then, if we're not wearing underwear. If you wear, like, gray sweats.
Wait, a VPL?
Visible penis line.
Okay.
Yep. And so, when I, okay, one time you. Years ago, when I was on my, I was on a national talk show, Hollywood Stay Live, on Fox, right? And I had posted a photo of myself with one of our celebrity guests, but I wasn't, like, in my suit or my look yet. I was wearing high tops, gray sweatpants, and a t-shirt. And I posted it, not thinking anything, and then people started commenting like crazy, sending me eggplant emojis. And I was like, what? And then I looked, I was like, oh my God, it looked great. But also, I was like, that was not my intention. I was wearing underwear, right? For him, though, to say he was wearing underwear, usually you get the VPL when there's no underwear.
Okay.
So for him to be wearing underwear and to still be showing out like that, he's bragging, which I love.
Okay, I don't know what photos I've found here.
Oh, God, you're going down a rabbit hole.
She is down the rabbit hole. I'm going to tell you that much. That's insane.
Yeah, but I'm with him, though. Like, I can't imagine going commando. I could. My husband can do this. He doesn't wear underwear sometimes.
I never wear underwear.
And there's, well, but it's different.
No, it's different, but also women would beg to differ. Like, Lisa does not understand how I never wear underwear. She's like, that's so uncomfortable.
I have way, way too much to tame to not wear underwear, I'll tell you that. So.
Okay.
Just in case you're wondering.
Amen.
The Morning Beat with AJ and Michaela. Channel Q.
One More Time. I love that song. It makes me happy.
One More Time.
It always gets me pumped up.
Absolutely.
Well, you know what else gets me pumped up?
Go on, sister.
Pumpkin spice lattes, pumpkin spice candles, pumpkin spiced everything. I know I sound like a basic bitch right now, but I love this time of year. I started buying pumpkin spice candles last month.
Listen to me. I am a basic bitch also, and I went to Lisa. I called her, and I said, Lisa, at the store 2 days ago, can I please buy a pumpkin spice candle? And she said, Michaela, no. And I said, Lisa, why not? A pumpkin spice. And she goes, because that is the equivalent of a live, love, laugh sign in our house, which I'm not doing
it. I told you I have hanging above my front door.
I know, but she won't let me do it. And so
I told the story to my husband yesterday. He goes, oh my God, I forgot that was there. Let's take it down. And I was like, never. Don't drag me. But I'm the guy. My dream to own my own home someday. I want to do it so I can decorate for every single season. Like, I want to switch up. I want to put the fall wreath on the door. I want to put the fall flag hanging out on the flagpole. I want to change. I want to have an Easter flag. I want to have different decorations for every single season. And when you live like I do, I have 1,100 square feet. You don't have a lot of space. Storage is tight. And I require.
That's the worst part.
Yes, and I require an entire storage unit that I rent in my building. Just for my Christmas decorations. And I've really gone all in on Christmas, but the other ones I want to decorate for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, is there a psychology behind this? Is there a reason that we all feel a certain way about the fall, that we feel like we want to wrap up in blankets and get cozy and
I believe it.
Candles and all of that? Psychologically speaking, there could be. So for Therapy Thursdays, we're talking about just that. We've got an expert joining us from Rutgers University, and he's an expert on cognitive science. We're going to be talking about our love of everything. P.S. That's pumpkin spice. And why it makes us feel so cozy, if there's a reason. Does it bring us back to our childhood nostalgia? What is it?
Yeah.
On this first day.
I think nostalgia. I'm just going to go with nostalgia. I think Hocus Pocus. I think movies that we used
Hocus
to get
Pocus
so excited.
Hocus Pocus 2 comes out at the end of the month. I think next week.
Yeah. I mean, little parties that you had, mm-hmm. trick-or-treating, if you had the luxury of going to school and it was decorated. I mean, mm-hmm. the first day of fall when you go back to school was if you had a good teacher, the best.
Everything changed.
Everything felt different.
So we're going to talk about that on this first day of fall. Happy autumnal equinox, everyone.
Amen.
Right now, though, it's time for Michaela to give us some news on the beat. What's going on around the world?
Okay, babe. A teacher is making waves on Twitter for her impassioned speech before the Ohio State Board of Education in support of trans students. Dawn Riggs, a teacher of 33 years, was testifying against a resolution that would require Ohio schools to out trans and non-binary students to their parents, allowing teachers the right to refuse to use a student's preferred name and pronouns, and require students to participate on sports teams based on their sex assigned at birth, effectively excluding trans girls from school sports. Take a listen.
I have many trans and non-binary students in my classes. My experience with transgender individuals spans my entire career. I am still in touch with some of those folks. Every single former student has told me how much knowing they had a safe place to be their authentic selves has meant to them. They have shared stories about traumas they were experiencing outside my classroom, from classmates, other teachers, family members. They have told me about their cutting. They have told me about their suicidal thoughts, their depression and anxiety and wish to disappear. The language in this proposal that teachers must out their transgender students when they are all not ready to be out is horrifying. Our students must be able to choose the time and the manner in which they share their transness and with whom. I urge you to oppose this hateful and misguided rhetoric.
Ooh, from a teacher herself.
Okay, mama.
The person giving her a 30-second notice. let her go.
Girl, let it happen.
Let her go.
Now, three members of the Board of Education also released an official statement against Shay's resolution, writing that they are embarrassed that our time as a board will be spent discussing an issue that so egregiously works to bully children and threaten adults. egregiously. Sorry. You know it's difficult.
I wasn't going to do it. I love when you
I
get
know,
one
but I knew you were
going
to call me out. I heard that giggle, and I was like, not today. All right, one more story.
That was an egregious error, by the way. That was pretty bad.
All right, the Republican Governors Association is saying Kansas Governor Laura Kelly is lying about her record on transgender rights as she faces attacks from the conservative organization over her two vetoes of transgender sports bans. We all want a fair and safe space for our kids to play and compete, she said when she vetoed this year's bill. However, this bill didn't come from the experts at our schools, our athletes, or the Kansas State High School Activities Association. It came from politicians trying to score political points. RGA has been running ads attacking Kelly for those vetoes. One of those ads featured cisgender swimmer Riley Gaines, who said, "I was forced to share a locker room with a biological man. It was uncomfortable and it was wrong. This has to stop," she concluded. "If Laura Kelly can't protect women, she shouldn't be governor." It's just so much for no reason.
I actually love what she's doing because she says, she talks about, you know, why she vetoed the bill and says, because it's not actually like written by teachers. It's not actually written by the school board. It's not written by people like the woman we just heard from Ohio who talks about her decades of experience working with trans and LGBTQ youth. Like, it's not written by, it's written by politicians to try to score points.
Right.
And she called them out, and I love it.
Love it.
That's why we need more women in power, by the way. Women aren't afraid to, like, you know, Letitia James taking down Donald Trump in New York State. Like, women are not afraid to speak up against, you know, wrongdoings.
That's right, honey. All right, let's do weather. Orlando, it's going to be a high of 91, 96 in New Orleans, 95 in Vegas, 86 in L.A., 100 in Cathedral City, and 80 in D.C.
You know, every time you say the weather in Orlando, I always want to, like, add, and it's probably going to pour cats and dogs for 20 minutes at about 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Great.
You ever been to Orlando?
Yeah.
Every day for, like, 20 minutes, it's like torrential downpour.
Listen, I did a huge girls' event there a couple of months ago in the summertime with David Hernandez, and my hair was so beautiful, and then it quickly was not because the rain changed everything. And it only rained for 10 minutes.
I told you about the time we had your friend Blake Lewis, right?
Was
on our show. He performed in the rain at Parliament House down in Orlando. Pouring down rain. Amazing. Best show I've ever seen. Until Gaga. Here's my vibe. No excuses. Find your voice and tell the world every morning, I'm back. Yeah, you are.
I'm back, baby. And so is fall. It's the first day of fall, but why are we so obsessed with pumpkin spice? We have a professional behavioral and systems neuroscience joining us to talk about why we actually love it so much. Coming up in 7 minutes.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List, you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Morning Beat with AJ and Michaela. Channel Q.
All right, so listen, I love summer as much as the next guy. However, fall is officially here as of today, and there's just something about the fall that's special, right? Autumn brings, well, for much of the country, cooler weather, you know, a changing of the leaves. We all want pumpkin spice lattes and pumpkin spice candles and pumpkin spice everything. But have you ever wondered why, scientifically or psychologically speaking, is there a reason this time of year just feels kind of cozy to us? Well, there might be. Mm-hmm. And here to explain what that might be is John McGann, who's the director of the Rutgers University Center for Cognitive Science and a professor of behavioral and systems neuroscience at Rutgers as well in New Brunswick, New Jersey. John McGann, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
First and foremost, I have to say, go Bucks. I am an Ohio State graduate, and you are now officially part of the Big Ten, Rutgers. So I had to say that to you. But this time of year, not just football season, you know, football fans get really excited. It's also pumpkin spice latte season. And it just feels cozy. Is there a reason that we sort of get this feeling this time of year?
Well, there's probably two parts to it, right? So some smells that we love, the love is kind of innate, and some smells that we love, we learned, right? Mm. So almost everybody loves the smell of a forest. Almost everybody loves the smell of leaves turning in the fall. But pumpkin spice, that love of that, that's mostly an American, increasingly European phenomenon, but that's it seems to be culturally dependent. So some of these things are innate, but some of them are probably learned.
Okay, well, John, first of all, I thought you were going to say people love the smell of a fart, and I was like, okay, go off, John. But now I'm happy that you said forest. I feel like part of the reason that I love certain smells is because it reminds me of, like, the best times in my life growing up. It's like the nostalgia for me. I knew that if Hocus Pocus was on, that meant it was, like, really cozy smells, like pumpkin, and you could have, like, hot chocolate. It all was just really cozy. So how much does nostalgia play into these scents as well?
So almost certainly. And it's actually kind of interesting because pumpkin spice doesn't have any pumpkin in it. Right? People sometimes associate it with apples, too.
Yes.
There's no apples in it, right?
Mm.
But pumpkin and apples are flavors that you encounter in the fall at the same time that you're having pumpkin pies and apple pies. And so we associate it with the experience of pumpkin pies at the holidays and all of the sort of happiness that goes along with that for most of us in those seasons. And our brain kind of fills in the rest of the picture, right? It fills in the emotion. It even fills in, to some extent, the pumpkin, even though there isn't any pumpkin in your latte.
Oh, that's really interesting.
That's insane. Well, and so on brand for us as people.
All of those things, because I make one apple pie per year, and my husband requires that I make it every single Thanksgiving. He loves my apple pie. It's my aunt's recipe. It's really great. But I think the thing that we actually are drawn to is like the cinnamon and the nutmeg and like those sort of like spices that bring us you know, some joy this time of year. Is there anything bad about that? Is there anything bad about sort of psychologically speaking, finding joy and being actually happier because of these scents? And if there is nothing wrong with it, right, can we sort of like tap into that all year round?
Well, so do you eat French toast?
Yes.
Cinnamon and nutmeg goes on that pretty well.
There you go.
Okay.
So it's nothing wrong with it at all. In fact, it's wonderful to be able to tap into those emotions, to tap into that nostalgia on, you know, when you want to. If you make an apple pie in the spring if you want to and have some of that same sentiment. The only problem is, if you do it all the time, then you risk losing the specialness and the nostalgia.
Well, that's how I feel. Everyone was like, oh, happy fall today. And I was like, girls, it's like the first day of summer. Like, we get to wear Old Navy flip-flops. We're going outside. We're smelling the beach. But after, like, a couple weeks, I'll be over this and want to go back to, like, hot weather again and vice versa. Because I think also, really, nostalgia plays across the board. And if you don't, like, overuse it or overrun it. It's hard here in Los Angeles because I feel like it's always nice weather. If
it's
you
like
live
one
in like
season.
Ohio or other states where you really do get fall, winter, spring, summer. But I think that it's just like as long as you don't overdo it.
Well, yeah, we've talked about that because I know Michaela, she lost her grandmother during the pandemic and I lost mine a few years back. And there are certain smells, like if I smell my grandmother's perfume, or you smell your grandmother's perfume, like it brings us back to a place. It triggers all sorts of memories and feelings and emotions. So the sense of smell is really a lot more powerful than I think we realize.
Absolutely. And it seems that the brain is actually wired to do that, right? So all of the other senses in your body, they get rooted into the conscious parts of your brain via some low-level structures called the thalamus, and eventually it makes it out to the cerebral cortex, which is more of the thinky-feely parts of stuff. And the olfactory system is different. For your smell, it seems to actually skip that low-level processing center and go straight into the cortex and to go straight into places like the amygdala, which is sort of associated with emotions, and connections to a hippocampal formation, which is associated with memory. It almost seems like the system is wired to connect smells to memory and emotion centers, but it also goes backwards, where some of the work in my laboratory, we've actually found that previous experiences, both positive and traumatic, actually change the signals the nose sends to the brain that were associated with those traumatic or positive experiences.
Oh, wow. My God. Oh, I just want to tell you something very fast, because I was in a little bit of a depression about this.
Sure, I went
back to my mother-in-law's last week, and we were staying at her house to help her with something. And the whole energy and the smell reminded me of when we were there 2 years ago while I was taking care of my grandma who passed away. And I swear I felt through like the scent of the way that her mom makes the coffee, of the way that her mom's house just smells. It really took me back to like the PTSD of everything that happened 2 years ago. And I thought I was tripping, but clearly I'm not.
No, you're not. Your brain is really wired to build some of that in all the way out to the very beginning of the circuit, right? Your cells in your nose were probably responding differently because of the previous experiences you had in that place with those smells. And so some of it's being reconstructed as you experience those smells again, which, of course, for many folks, that's a wonderful thing, association with the holidays. But as you noted, it can be a pretty bad thing in some circumstances. That's also a common issue for combat veterans who suffer from post-traumatic stress, right? The same situation can happen. Those certain distinctive odors associated with being in combat can also trigger some sorts of anxieties and other day-to-day challenges.
So well, fascinating.
John McGann, the director of the Rutgers Center for Cognitive Science and a professor of behavioral and systems neuroscience at Rutgers University. Thank you so much for joining us. This conversation was really fascinating, and I know that we all appreciate it.
My pleasure. Have a wonderful fall.
Thank you. All right, coming up, this man wants to tell his wife what he's been doing while she's away taking care of her ill parents, but should he? We'll talk about it coming up next.
The Morning Beat with AJ Gibson and Michaela Gordon.
Channel Q.
Dear Abby, I wear my wife's leggings and sports bra when she's not around. This is something I think that is more relatable than we realize. Mm-hmm. So he says, my wife has been away for a while caring for her ill parents. Because I was alone, I decided to experiment with wearing women's clothes, and I found that I really enjoyed wearing leggings. They make very comfortable pajamas. I also found that sports bras not only provide compression that feels good, but also serves a purpose because I have rather enlarged breasts. Should I hide everything and put away my leggings and bras, or should I let her in on some of my secrets? Signed, Dressed Up in California. This could be any one of our friends.
It really could be, and it's very sad to me. You know, I worked for a brief time at a beauty, like a fashion boutique in Vegas, and basically provided all of the things from hair, makeup, and fashion to men who wanted to experience, it was for our community, but it also opened up the doors for men who didn't say they were cross-dressers or transgender necessarily, that really wanted to explore that side of them. It was like a safe place. And so some of them were in the middle of transitioning, and I would talk to them, and they would say, it's just very difficult because I'm married and I can't tell my wife, because when I did try, she freaked out. Mm. And I still very much want to be with her, but this is also very much something that I want to do. And it's just a really difficult situation. And I feel like you never know really what the right answer is. You want to say, always be true to yourself. But it's a really painful thing, especially if you have children and if the wife is not going to be okay with this.
Yeah, it's sad to me that, because I do think that while toxic masculinity is rampant in most men, gay or straight or in between, I think that it's even worse for straight men. And I think that it shouldn't matter if you're not in a relationship where you could talk to your partner about something like this. That makes me sad. Just that you can't even bring up the conversation. And I think that it's important to talk to your partner because you don't want to keep secrets because secrets are always worse than whatever the truth may be. And I know, you know, maybe it is as simple as I like it. That's it. I'm very much straight. I'm very much cis. I'm very much whatever, but I just like it. And that could be, it could be that simple. It could be as complex, like you said, as I actually identify as female inside, but I've never really thought about it until I put this article of clothing on. And then it brought out something inside of me, which was the case with Caitlyn Jenner and Kris Jenner. And Caitlyn, you know, as the story goes, Kris caught Caitlyn many times over the years wearing women's clothing and just kind of brushed it under the rug and brushed it under the rug.
Right.
And their relationship ended up blowing up and it was not amicable and they no longer communicate. And there's a litany of reasons for that. But I think that part of that, the initial reason was the lying. The keeping something.
That's I think what it is. And listen, I really am a firm believer on you can get through anything if you're honest. Anything.
Yeah.
Because even if it hurts so bad, at least they know the truth. People don't feel stupid. People don't feel duped.
And you're going to feel free and seen.
Yeah. And also, if you lie to somebody, you're only making it worse for yourself and you're truly breaking the 25 years of trust you've established with this
person.
You're
not even giving them the option to show up for you and to surprise you.
Right.
So I kept my sexuality from my grandma for years, and when she finally found out, she blew my mind.
Same.
She was wonderful.
Same. Didn't care.
Yep.
It's crazy. I get the fear, but also, you got to tell the truth. But also, she is taking care of her sick parents. Is the time to do it now?
Or maybe now. Maybe she'll be more upset about the parents than about the leggings.
Maybe. All right. Coming up, I am very excited about the new movie Bros, and the way that Billy Eichner is promoting it feels also very nostalgic. We've got the audio coming up.
The Morning Beat, Channel Q.
Welcome back to the show. It's time for another round of What's Poppin'. This one's iconic. We have some audio. What's going on, Michaela?
All right. Well, we love Billy Eichner on this show so much, and he's out there promoting his new, very gay film, Bros. But one of the vehicles that propelled Billy Eichner to fame was his comedy quiz show, Billy on the Streets. I'm obsessed with him. He retired that show 3 years ago to concentrate on new projects. However, he resurrected it this week to help with promoting his new movie. Take a listen.
Hey guys, it's Billy. I'm out here back on the street with famous and beloved straight man, Paul Rudd. We're going to spread the word about my new movie, Bros. You ready, Paul?
Yeah!
Let's bro! Sir, Paul Rudd wants you to see Bros.
What's up, Paul Rudd?
You guys going to see Bros, my new movie, September 30th?
I'm one of the bros, so I got
to
watch.
Tell all your bros to see Bros.
All your bros to see Bros.
Come on, man. Yeah.
Third.
A lot of gay sex in it.
Whoa.
Oh, okay. Sir, Paul Rudd demands that you see Bros.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. Bro.
When's it playing?
September 30th.
Can you physically carry me there?
Oh, let's try.
It's a ways. We can try.
Well, it's hard. Don't kill yourself, Paul Rudd. Oh, we're carrying this man to Bros.
I love Billy Eichner. I love his relationship with Paul Rudd. I'm obsessed. I can't wait to see it. Even Lisa, she was watching it because it just had come up on the TV and she goes, what is this? And I was like, oh, some new movie. And she's like, oh, I want to see this. This is very funny.
It
looks hilarious.
It's a big deal. It's the first ever literally gay rom-com to go to like a to the theater.
Yeah.
Right?
Big deal.
To be a part of this is pretty cool. It's a cool, iconic moment for our community. I'm also excited about his partner in the film, Luke McFarlane. He's super cute. But like Christian Chenoweth is in it. Keenan Thompson. There's so
all
many
the fan favorites.
Deborah Messing. So many. Amy Schumer. There's so many iconic appearances from like people who are loved in our community. And I can't imagine. Harvey Fierstein. I mean, the list goes on and on. Bowen Yang. And I feel like people like just want to support this sort of content.
Absolutely, because it's not content that we always get to see, and also it's finally taking like the funny gay best friend and making him the lead. And I think that Billy Eichner is the best person to sort of bridge the gap and be like, here's where we're at. And every single gay person is a part of this movie.
Well, one of our very own connection to our show, Jay Rodriguez. He's also in it.
He just walked the carpet last night, looked gorgeous.
The original host of The Morning Beat alongside my girl, Michaela. So it's a big deal.
It's a really big deal, and it's really exciting. Just anything to better our community. I can't wait to see it. It's going to be great. All right, coming up, we've got attorney Paula Canny joining us. New York Attorney General sues Trump and Trump's family, but does it really make a difference? We'll talk about it. I am American.
Welcome back to the show. Big, big news breaking yesterday, and we thought we'd bring our attorney, Paula Canny, in to talk about it. These moments are always so fun. Paula, thank you so much for being here.
Of course.
Not just Donald Trump, but Eric, Ivanka, and Donald Trump Jr. knowingly participated, that is the quote, in the fraudulent schemes by, this is what Attorney General from New York, Letitia James, is saying in her complaint. She's filed a civil lawsuit against basically the whole family, the three oldest children and Don Sr. What does this mean? What's the difference between a civil lawsuit and these other ones he's facing? Break it down for us, if you would.
Okay, I'm going to break it down. I'm actually super disappointed.
Oh, wow. Why?
So, okay.
Why? Because it's only a civil lawsuit. The only thing that can happen, it's 220 pages long. With the exhibits, it's over 800 pages. It's tons and tons and tons of work. You're absolutely right. Named in the defendants in the lawsuit is Donald Trump, his three grown children, and basically she's suing them. So the only thing that you can get in a civil suit is money and some remedies. That is that they can't sit as directors of corporations in the state of New York, that the corporations can't apply for loans for like 5 years in the state of New York. But it's only civil. It's only money. I had hoped that what the announcement was that she was going to announce that she had obtained an indictment and that she was prosecuting Donald Trump. Because, again, in my thought process, the one thing that can stop Donald Trump from running for office is being convicted of a felony. His being sued doesn't bar him from holding office as president again. Doesn't bar him from holding public office. So while on the one hand, it's kind of a big deal, on the other hand, it's super disappointing because, you know, basically the claim is in the lawsuit is that they inflated property values to gain benefits in insurance policies, bank loans, and the like. And they name all these properties, you know, even the golf course in Scotland and stuff. And so my sort of thing, because I looked at the lawsuit, I didn't read it like perfectly, all 222 pages, but I looked at it. And, I mean, if he did all these bad things regarding valuations, especially, you know, the properties to impact his state income taxes, I would have hoped that she would have filed a criminal case against them. So, yes, it's great, it's civil, but, you know, it's money. He doesn't care about money, and plus he's always boasted, you know, oh, Trump Tower's worth more than anything. I mean, that's it just sort of, in a way, feeds into his boisterousness and stuff. But, no, I'm super disappointed.
Well, I like when you're honest about being disappointed because I think that so many people are. I think, though, that this – I feel like this is all I ever have to contribute when we have these conversations, which is like, are we ever going to nail Trump, honey? Because it seems like we're always so close, but yeah, it's never like big enough.
Yeah, I'm afraid to cross the street without a crosswalk. I'm afraid of getting
right.
I'm afraid of that. Like, I'm afraid of like the littlest, breaking the littlest law.
Yeah, and so for all of these things to happen and be held really, literally not accountable. Like, who cares they took his Twitter away? Like, there's been, it almost feels like gaslighting.
1,000%.
Does that make sense? Did he really do anything that bad? Yeah, girl, he did.
He's like Harry Houdini. He keeps escaping somehow.
Yes.
Well, he does. I mean, that, it is unbelievable. I mean, James did say that she's referred all these matters to the Justice Department and the IRS for possible criminal prosecution, but it's like she had the authority to prosecute him in the state of New York. She has that power. So, I'm super disappointed that she chose not to exercise that power.
Also, I think there's another layer to it. Like, I think that look, we've gotten really used to letting strong black women save our country over and over and over again. And I think a lot of people thought that, like, Letitia James was the one. Like, she was the one who was going to nail him in New York State and save us from another, you know, 4 years of a nightmare. Not the case so far. We're going to keep an eye on this this story and all of his other lawsuits that are going on right now. Paula Canny, thank you so much for joining us. I know you have a very busy day. We appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you. But we'll get him in that, you know, the documents case in Florida.
Amen.
He shouldn't have had those documents. And I think that's where he's going to be prosecuted.
A boy can dream.
Sister.
Exactly. We all can. All right. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye, Mama.
Thanks. Okay, bye.
Okay, coming up, confess your fraud. Have you ever returned clothes that you have worn? Okay, we're talking about it next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Channel Q.
Here's a question that's going to draw all sorts of reactions.
Okay.
Should wearing clothing and then returning it for a refund be considered a serious crime?
Well, if it is, honey, I know a lot of girls that are about to go down.
I'm about to go to prison then, because I've done this many times. And according to a new study of 2,000 adults, they call this friendly fraud. And 46% think that wearing clothes for an occasion and returning them for a full refund, also known as wardrobing, that's the sort of casual term for it, should be considered a serious illegal offense. 46%?
Yeah, I think it's a very common thing to do. I know so many girls that used to need gowns, shoes, dresses, something expensive, and they would go to the store, they'd pick it up, they'd keep the tags on, and they would return it for whatever reason. as ballsy as I am. I've never done it in my life.
Wait, what?
I won't do it.
I've done it many times.
I feel like I'll get caught and I'm just like, I can't do it.
Wait, get caught doing what?
Returning something that I've already worn.
Well, like, because here's why. You have spray tans.
But not always just because of spray tans. Like, I feel like I just can't do it. Like, I feel bad. Like, I feel like I did wear it, and now some girl's going to have to get the dress that I wore that's presenting as new, and I can't do it. I just can't do it.
I've done it, but I remember vividly the first time I did this. I was in New York City. I had just moved there, and my friend was like, hey, I've got a photo shoot set up for us. I was trying to be an actor. It was like 15, 12, 16 years ago. He's like, I have a photo shoot set up. I'm like, a photo shoot? With a photographer? Like, okay. Like, what's going on? Like, is this expensive? And he's like, no, it's free. My friend's a photographer. And I'm like, okay, this is awesome. And he's like, we can get some new headshots and all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, cool, but what are we going to wear? He's like, oh, that's easy. We just go shopping, return everything. And I'm like, wait, what? He's like, yeah, go to H&M. It's amazing. Get all the clothes, leave the tags on them, take photos on them, and then return them. And I was like, no, that's like stealing. He's like, no, it's not. It's like, there's a major company. Return it. We aren't going to mess it up.
Yeah.
Return it perfectly fine. And we did. And he unlocked something in me, honey. That day, I was like, I saw the value in just, I consider it borrowing clothes. Like, borrowing clothes from a store. And I've had so many photo shoots over the years where I couldn't afford a stylist. It's all very expensive. And you better believe I've gone and picked out things just to wear for a photo or for an event and then taken it back. I don't really do it anymore. Because truth be told, I end up keeping things because I want to keep them.
Right.
I don't see this as fraud. I don't see, listen, these companies make a lot of money.
But it's not about the companies. For me, I feel like, and this is like the one only thing I'm passionate about. I would never want one of my homegirls to go in, get a dress that somebody else wore for their benefit, brought it back, and then she's thinking she's getting like a brand new dress. I wouldn't want that for her. That's why I don't do it. I feel like weird. Like,
even if okay.
I wouldn't want that either.
So, okay. So, with that logic then if I wore it for a little bit, wore it for an event, how's that different than 30 people trying on that outfit in a fitting room, and then you wearing it? Like, if genuinely there's no stains, there's nothing on it, there's nothing discernible that about the garment that can tell you, oh, it's been worn by somebody. Anything you buy at the store could have been tried on by a number of people, right? So in that regard, is it really different? All of a sudden, is it worse to wear it for 2 hours than it is to wear it for 2 minutes? Is that?
Yeah. Maybe, because I feel like when you try it on, like, you put it on, you hate it immediately, because that's me in the dressing room. I'm like, I hate it. You take it off, and then I feel like it's a little bit more lived in. I don't know. Listen, a lot of people do this. So many. For me, I couldn't do it.
Do you think it should be illegal, though? Like, punishable by, like, a fine or going to jail because of return clothing?
I mean, I think that we could punish people for a lot larger things than trying on an outfit. Most of the time, the common thing is that they want something nice to wear and they couldn't afford it. And that's why they do it like that, you know? So I feel like that's unfair. But,
well, insider tip, if you ever want to get an outfit for a weekend for something and then return it, Nordstrom has a really flawless return policy. You can return anything
anytime.
You can
literally use half the makeup and return it.
Return it.
And they're like, oh, okay, you hate it now.
So you do know.
Not because I use it. Nordstrom's is famous for this. There's memes all over the place.
The Morning Beat with AJ and Michaela. Channel Q.
I love me some Drew Barrymore.
Love.
Right? She played Casey Becker in the original Scream. She was chased down while she was making Jiffy Pop. She was hung from a tree and gutted. And it set off my favorite horror film franchise of all time. Right? That I'm down with. What she's saying now, though, she may have lost me officially. What's popping, Michaela?
Okay, here's the thing with Drew. I love Drew Barrymore, and I think I love her because I know that she was such a wild child growing up.
Yeah.
She was a rock star. It did get a little problematic.
Doing drugs when she was like a little kid.
But she wasn't set up for success, and yet here she is. She was such a bad bitch in Charlie's Angels.
Yes.
Like, she was a vibe.
She also, I think, produced and directed that film. Like, she was in charge of that movie.
She was the bomb. So you would think that she's still, like, wild, free-spirited, hippie, like, want my everything. But she's not coming up saying she can go years without something, take a listen.
What's wrong with me that 6 months doesn't seem like a very long time? I was like, yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean, that we buried the lead there. That's the headline. Oh. Drew could go 6 months, no big deal. But I...
Oh, years.
Years. And she's talking about...
Sex.
Yes.
6 years without sex?
She's got Ross Matthews on. He's sort of her sidekick on her show, and it's a perfect duo. She actually performed his wedding down in Mexico a few months ago. She was the officiant. But
oh, I didn't know they were close like that.
Yeah, but... 6 months or years without sex? I don't know about that.
I mean, it has to be that she's just pleasing herself, and that's the extent of
it. I would hope so. But how long have you gone without sex? Have you gone through dry spells?
Between me and Lisa?
Or just as an adult, since you started having sex, like what's the longest you've gone without having sex?
I don't know. It's weird for me because I lost my virginity and then I was like in relationships.
Yeah.
Okay, for the amount that I was single, probably 5 months of no, like, physical touch.
Yeah, I was in
maybe
a relationship.
Maybe? I feel like that seems like a long
time. I was in a relationship with my first partner here in Los Angeles. That's how I met you. He was our common denominator, and we were together for 4 years, and I think we tried to have sex 3 or 4 times the entire time. And so when I moved to L.A., I was like I thought I was like a young, hot guy in my 20s until I got into a relationship, and then I thought... For those first few years, I guess I'm just not attractive here. I guess I'm not hot enough here. And I really, really believed that I was like, well, I guess I'm not good looking enough to have sex in Los Angeles. And that was kind of devastating for me. So I don't know that I could do this. I have a friend who got divorced. It was a long divorce, and she just got divorced 7 years ago. But for like 5 or 6 of those years, the divorce was being drawn out because there was like a lot of money involved. Mm-hmm. Before that, she told me she and her husband hadn't had sex for 8 years. And she's still 15
See, there's
going to
be so much trauma wrapped around those kind of situations. You know what I'm saying? Like, yep. With your ex, I think there was trauma. With relationships where you go 8 years, there's got
to
be trauma.
Sex isn't everything, but to not
but
have
it's
it for
really
years,
a healthy thing to yes. be in a relationship. And when it's not there, there's something, I think, that's emotionally, mentally going on. Like yeah. a block. Maybe there's... It could be something serious.
Not
it's
a
like,
block. Sounds like block pipes.
No, like physical abuse yes. or sexual abuse that happened. Or mm-hmm. like there's a block there when it comes to the intimacy of it all. I mean, look, if she's happy, God let her be happy. But I didn't ever expect that to come out of Drew Barrymore's mouth. That's for sure. Okay, coming in, the 5 major personality turnoffs that make you look insecure, selfish, and annoying. And unfortunately, we all do it. Coming up.
Good Morning Beat. Channel Q.
The 5 major personality turnoffs that make you look insecure, selfish, and annoying.
Here we go.
Here's the kicker. Apparently, we all do them.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Are you ready for this?
Let's do it.
Okay. Number one. Seeking compliments or validation about yourself. Ooh, I love validation. Mm. I don't necessarily seek compliments, but I like when people acknowledge that I've done things well. And that's an insecurity, I think, of my own.
Yeah.
It feels good, though, right?
Yeah. It always, hello, anybody wants to feel validated and feel like compliments are really great.
Okay, so apparently that's a major personality turnoff that I'm doing.
Yeah, that's a big one. But what does that mean? Like, you're fishing for compliments, or you show you're insecure and you want to be the center of attention, is the way that people go about doing this.
You know what is interesting, though? The whole center of attention thing. Like, I sometimes can, like, be the center of attention because it's not that I necessarily want all eyes on me. But if I'm in, like, a group setting and nobody's talking and there's, like, dead air, I have a hard time just letting that be. I have a hard time just letting like nothing happen. So I feel like I have to share something. Like I feel like I have to entertain people or something. So I should work on that, I think.
Okay, well, here's another one. Avoiding answering questions and not being an open book.
Oh, that's not me.
No, that's not you.
Yes.
But again, what is that? Like, I feel like, what does that mean? Because I also feel like people... Avoiding answering what questions?
You know what I think? I think of like the Real Housewives. There's certain, the ones that you don't really fall in love with or you don't hate, the ones that are kind of middle of the road, just don't really reveal a whole lot. And I think those types of people come across as insecure and kind of annoying to me.
Yeah.
I like it. Like, listen, if we're having a conversation, I want to know you're willing to go there with me. Right? Because I'm willing. I'll share everything. Sometimes too much.
Yeah.
Maybe that's actually the thing. Maybe I overshare.
Yeah.
I'm an open book
because
for sure.
There is something that I appreciate about people that don't completely share everything because it gives a sense of confidence.
Yes.
And a sense of not needing.
Your partner's like that.
Yes.
So is mine.
Yes,
like,
totally.
They're both like, I don't need to brag about myself because I don't need to.
But not even bragging, just not telling a story about yourself.
Yeah, it makes you respect them in a different way.
In a different way.
And it makes you kind of curious about them.
Yeah.
Listen, everybody knows everything about my life because I share it. So that's, I guess I do. I am insecure apparently.
All right, that's okay.
How about using your date as a therapist to complain about your problems? Your date as a therapist, what does that even mean?
I guess maybe if you go on a date and you start talking.
Oh, got
and
it.
You start complaining about all the things that are in your life.
Oh, God.
Or looking to seek.
The worst thing ever is if you go on a first date with somebody and they just start unloading on you and just sharing everything.
I will say that I don't do that on the first date. I will say that I've been guilty of finally having a sit down dinner with Lisa and then being like, all this stuff is going on. Like, tell me what you think. And she's like, I just wanted to have a nice dinner with you.
I just wanted to enjoy this spaghetti.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. But we haven't caught up enough during the day. So by the time we sit down, I'm like, okay, what do you think about all this? And she's like, let's just like not do any of that.
You know, this is one that you used to do when I came to the radio show.
Yeah.
Putting yourself down.
Yeah.
Hate it. I hate seeing what do I always say? I say the same thing you do. I say to my husband, don't talk about my friend that way. I love that person. Even though like it's you talking about yourself. And I think that we learned that over a lifetime.
Totally.
We think, because maybe our parents or aunts or uncles teach us that it's braggadocious to be proud of yourself and that you need to be humble about everything. But like putting yourself down to me is not being humble. It actually just makes everybody around you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like I don't want to hear you say bad things about yourself.
Totally. I
no
think
way.
It's so mean. And I really have. I think that I thought in the past, I very much did not want to see compliments or validation show that. So then I was like very quiet about the things that I was doing and then was very much like, oh, no, that's okay. But it's still such a dim your light situation, one that I'm not willing to do anymore. Because it's not nice to yourself.
No. What's number five?
If you continue to interrupt.
If you do what else
when they're speaking.
Oh, if you interrupt them.
God, that's actually the most annoying thing.
I'll stop talking.
Just shut up.
Sometimes you just copy me like a little copycat when we're on the air and you just repeat whatever I say like a little sister and it drives me crazy.
That's because sometimes you interrupt me. So
I
have
do
to
interrupt.
Get a word in.
I do interrupt
so
you
So saying
sometimes.
Your same words.
Well, sometimes.
Sometimes.
Tell me something good.
Listen, anytime I can share a story that drags Chick-fil-A, I am happy to oblige. Chick-fil-A isn't going to be happy about this one Texas restaurant's new sandwich. It's called the Chick-fil-Gay. It is a panko textured filet with a slightly sweet taste, topped with two crinkle cut pickles on lightly toasted buns, plus mayo. Hold the homophobia. That is the full description.
Baby.
Now, you can get this in Dallas. Dallas Pride is coming up, I think, this weekend, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah. And Alexander's Bar in the Dallas neighborhood of Oak Lawn debuted this chicken sandwich this past Sunday. And they've gotten a lot of protests about it already. However, the Chick-fil-Gay is the creation of their chef, Sharina Hassel. You know it always takes a strong woman.
Naturally.
I hope she's a lesbian. I do.
She probably is.
But it was their delicious clapback in response to Chick-fil-A's well-known anti-gay history. You know, back in 2012, the chicken chain donated to anti-gay LGBTQ groups, including groups that support conversion therapy. They've been fighting against marriage equality for years. But I think this is really, really fantastic.
Absolutely.
The Chick-fil-Gay.
The Chick-fil-Gay.
I almost want to fly to Dallas just to get one.
Thank her.
Yeah, you think we could Postmates it?
Yeah, we could maybe. It'd take a couple of days.
Yeah, sure.
So it's okay. We can protect it. Okay, I love this. Tinder dating app connects rescue dogs to forever homes for National Dog Week. Tinder, an online dating platform, is taking initiative this National Dog Week to match dog rescues with potential owners. The dating app will allow users to attach a dog in need of a forever home to their profiles for the week of September 18th through the 24th, which is also known as Dog Week. Here, users will be able to not only look for love, but for a furry friend as well. And I honestly think that this is an amazing app to do it on because people that are looking for love or even just to date could really use some furry company. And there's nothing like a dog Nothing. I'm telling you, I can never say it enough. Me and Rocco were totally meant to be when I started this job. Pawworks came in to like get two dogs adopted, and they put Fat Rocco right in my lap, and he put his stupid paws around my neck and would not let me go the entire show.
He was
and
trying I was to choke
like,
you.
And I wanted him to.
He was like, stop talking.
And
I want to
like,
sleep.
No, he wanted to kiss me on the mouth. He was like, love you, Mom. And I took him home, and I was in quite a depression at the time. It was like literally for real right before I was going to get on depression medication. And he... laid in the bed with me, I'm not, for like
They're
2 months.
They're so calming.
And he would just put his head next to mine. And he saved my life, little Rocco Fat Boy. So I think this is amazing. And there's so much when it comes to animals that can be like
do you want another? Do you want another one? Because my dog puked down the back of the couch last night sitting next to my husband. You can have him
no,
if you want him.
Bruno's going blind. I've got like a whole situation. I'm going to get him a cane soon. It's like a whole situation. We're fine.
Got it.
Runs into everything, but still has a bad temper. So mad that he runs into things now.
I get it.
Well, as always, thank you so much for listening to our show. It's Therapy Thursdays. We're going into the weekend. So excited. One more day until the weekend. Today was Therapy Thursdays.
Yeah, we needed it.
But
thank
God. Thank God. But we
one more day. A one day work week.
One more day.
Come on, Les Mis.
But stick around for Loveline with Dr. Chris. He's talking about, oddly enough, loneliness as well. Maybe he needs a dog. Maybe the listeners need a dog.
Maybe he needs my dog.
Maybe he does. We'll see you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.